Cavalcade of Kings. Queen Elizabeth, Part 2. The captivity of Mary, Queen of Scots, did not bring peace to Elizabeth. The Pope declared the English Queen an heretic and ordered her subjects to refuse obedience to her. Many of the English lords were friendly towards Mary, and the Duke of Norfolk wanted to marry her and share her claim to the English throne. Plot after plot was formed to release Mary of Scotland and to slay Elizabeth, until the last conspiracy was detected, the chief actor in which was a youth named Anthony Babington. Letters were found on him, written by Mary, in which she warmly approved of his design to murder Elizabeth. Mary was taken to Fotheringay Castle and tried as an accomplice in the attempted crime. She was found guilty and sentenced to death. At the moment, we find Elizabeth seated at a table surrounded by her counselors, amongst whom are the Earl of Leicester and Lord Burley. Mary's death warrant lies on the table before Elizabeth.
A duty so odious or difficult to perform. And my very soul shrinks from the penning my name to this document, which seals the doom of Mary, my kinswoman.
Who makes arrows for your majesty's destruction?
Full well I know your words be true, my Lord Burley, but I do not thirst for revenge.
Your majesty's personal feelings in this matter must be put aside, even whilst we love and respect you for the sweetness of them. Mary of Scotland has menaced the peace of this realm for over 20 years. And weekly, the peril and possibility of flaming rebellion draws nearer. Once it merely tottered on weak, unsteady legs. Now it rides upon the back of a fiery steed, mad to the lust for blood. Gracious Queen, we implore you to be strong. The peace of England is at stake, and the wanton who threatens it must die.
Poor Mary. I cannot find it in my heart to believe her guilty.
Your Majesty's heart runs away with your usually judicial mind. Mary has been given fair trial and was duly confronted with her own letters, which venomous, treacherous epistles were directed against your Majesty's peace and signed by Mary's own hand.
'Tis possible, good Burley, the letters were forgeries.
Nay, good Queen, else Mary would have repudiated them.
Your Majesty, you but waste thy generous thoughts upon the woman. We are not actuated by spleen, nor do we desire her death from motives of vicious spite, but for the safety of England.
My Lord of Leicester speaks words of truth, my lady. Be firm, be strong, be courageous, and do your duty to England without fear or favor.
I bow my head in submission to my lord's demands. Give me the quill, and I'll sign.
Quill, your majesty.
Such an innocent quill, good Leicester. So fair and white a feather. So soon to be drenched in Mary's blood.
During the years of Mary's imprisonment, England and Spain were gradually drifting into war. English sailors began to appear on the seas, eager for adventure and profit. And if they could wrest it from the hated Spaniards, so much the better. The most famous of the English mariners was Francis Drake, a Devonshire man and a kinsman of Hawkins. Drake has just returned home from his famous voyage round the world. Elizabeth visits him on board his vessel, the Golden Hind, where a banquet in honor of the occasion has been prepared.
After you landed at Veracruz, good Master Drake, what then?
Just so told you, Majesty. Leaving 12 men to guard the boats, I divided the crew into two parties and made for the center of the town. Suddenly, hoarse shouts rent the air. The sky was afire with rockets and the blaze of torches. 1,000 devils seemed to have suddenly been loosened on us, and the Spaniards opened fire with their ball and muskets. But, by Mahaladam, one Britisher is worth 10 of the greasy dogs, and we soon put him to flight. It took us but a few moments to enter the treasure house of the city, where we saw riches that surpassed our wildest dreams.
God was with ye, brave Master Drake.
Faith, thou art right, your majesty. Later we sailed up the coast, ransacking Chile and Peru. We also captured treasure ships on their way to Panama. Then we took possession of the Californian coast in the name of your majesty. And after circumnavigating the globe, we returned to England. Verily, God was with us, lady. God and the prayers of good Queen Bess.
My heart is aflame with thy bravery, sir. I and that of your followers. Cadzooks, if I were a man, I too would follow ye. Yea, follow ye to the death. Tell me, what were your first thoughts as ye beheld the shores of England again?
Lady, I felt like a little boy who has been engaged on some forbidden prank and enjoyed himself right royally. In faith, I felt guilty and wondered what was in store for me.
I fear me, sir. If the friends of Spain at my court had had their way, you'd hang for your acts of piracy.
I am in thy hands, lady. Do with me what you will.
And that which I am about to do pleases me mightily. My sword of state.
At thy service, your majesty.
Kneel before me, good Master Drake. My lords, this day, by God's grace and in sight of ye all, tis my pleasure to reward the bravery of one of England's greatest sons. With the sacred sword of state, I strike his right shoulder and create him a knight of England. Arise, Sir Francis Drake.
Later came the tidings that Philip of Spain was building a mighty fleet in Cadiz Harbor in preparation for an attack on England. Drake was off again and sailed right into the harbor, where he set fire to the storeships which were laden with provisions for the fleet. His action delayed the sailing of the Armada for a year, but at last news of the sailing of the Spanish fleet was brought to Elizabeth by the Earl of Essex, her newest favorite. She was conversing with William Shakespeare at the time.
Verily, good Master Shakespeare, ye are the master of dramatic art, taking humanity for your province, and by your abounding sympathy, moving us at will to laughter and tears.
Gracious Majesty, what I have done is yours. What I have to do is also yours. Would please your servant if he accepted certain of my manuscripts.
Nay, good Master Shakespeare, I cannot take that which rightly belongs to posterity. And now, tell me something of thyself and thy muse. Is it difficult to invent?
Gracious Majesty, how can my muse want subject to invent, while loudest grieve, who pourest into my verse thine own sweet argument?
I thank thee, sir, for such a sweet compliment.
Give thyself the thanks, sweet lady, for who so dumb that cannot write to thee?
By your leave, your Majesty.
My Lord of Essex, the courier has arrived.
Yes, your Majesty, the tidings are urgent.
I will hear thee in a trice. Good Master Shakespeare, the audience is at an end. You have my leave to retire. But I shall send for you again, sir. And now, adieu, and God be with thee.
Fare thee well, your Majesty. God keep you.
There goes a man, Essex. Another illustrious son of England, whose name will live while civilization stands. And now, what news of Philip of Spain and his cursed fleet of ships?
It is of such great strength that the Spaniards call it the Invincible Armada, lady.
English sailors have beaten the Spanish dog before, and by troth they'll do so again. We are not a nation of cowards, but stout-hearted men who will defend our island home against all who assail it. Tell me, what is the enemy's plan of action?
It is rumored the Armada will sail up the channel and take on board troops, commanded by the Duke of Parma at Flanders. Well, they know we have no regular army and but a small fleet of ships.
Have no fear, good Essex, for I have called on every man to defend his homeland against the Spanish dogs, and no man has refused me. So, with all England aflame in unity of strong, angry men, with soldiers in arms and the sailors in their ships, and with both sides of the Thames fortified, we'll await the arrival of this proud Spanish fleet.
Suppose we are conquered, lady.
We shall die fighting, but the heart of Elizabeth tells her that we shall not be conquered, not while Howard, Drake, Raleigh, and their kind still draw the breath of life. And now, good Essex, bid my Lord Earl of Leicester to attend me, and ye also. Within the hour, we set out for Tilbury, there to review my troops and await the first sign of the Spaniards. My loving people, let tyrants fear, For in English hearts there is no place for it. God will deliver us, and in him I trust. And next to God, I place my chief strength in the loyal hearts of my subjects. Therefore, I am come amongst you at this time of peril to lay down my life for God, for my kingdom, and for my people if called upon to do so. I know I have but the body of a weak, feeble woman, but I have the soul of a king, and a king of England too. And will I gladly take up arms against Parma, or Spain, or any other prince of Europe who dares to invade the borders of my realm. To your post then, my loyal and well-beloved subjects. No foeman's chain shall bind ye, for the Lord God of hosts shall guard ye as ye fight for England and Queen Bess.